Bible, friends, is up in a book that you've never encountered or never had or taken the opportunity to read for yourself. You know, many people, when they do, are quite surprised, don't you know? We all have preconceived ideas about many things, think that one thing, but the reality is something else. You know, you open the Bible at the right place, begin to read in one of the Gospels, for instance, as offered to you here this afternoon. It's always important to begin the right place so that you can understand, grasp what the thing is about, you know. Some people start in the wrong place and they don't understand what they're reading, and in discouragement they give up. So it's important that you begin in the right place. That's why I offer you one of these extracts from the Bible, one of the Gospels, Mark or Luke, yours to take free of charge and without any cost or obligation to you. Give you an overview, a summary, if you like, of what the whole thing's about, see? And of course, right from the get-go, you'll see, you'll perhaps understand that it's not about an instituted religion, it's about a person. There's the gospel, there's the good news, you see, right there in front of you, right in your face, as you see this afternoon. Christ died for the ungodly. It's about a person, you see. His name is Jesus, and his appointment is Christ. He's the anointed one of God, the Savior, the only Savior of sinners. Christ, it's about a person, you see. And it tells us what he did. He died, but not because he had sinned. You and I, we'll all of us one day die as a result of our sin, you see. Sin's wages are death. That's why people die. Young lady asked the question in my hearing not so long ago when someone had passed away. Why do people have to die, she said. You'd have thought at the age she was at, she'd have known the answer to that. But alas, she didn't. So the answer is sin, you see. The wages of sin is death. But Christ died not because he was a sinner, but because you are. I am. He died for others, you see, an atoning death, a death for other people. And then, of course, it tells us just exactly who it was that he died for. For the ungodly, those who have, you see, become as a result of the ravages of sin, so contrary to God, his holiness, you know, his righteousness. Now they are termed, they are called ungodly, unrighteous. So that's the gospel, you see, the good news about Jesus. But of course, you'll only see it as good news when you see yourself in the way that God sees you, not as you see you, or not as, you know, the liar in the mirror on the wall that tells you each morning that you're the fairest of them all. Now, when you look into the mirror of God's Word, you get the exact representation of yourself, your being, a heart deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. So you see, it's good news when you see yourself as you are, undone, cut off from God, ungodly, and with no way back to God, no way of repair by yourself. Only Jesus, only He can bring you, fetch you back to God and to God's heaven. Nobody else can do that for you. So if you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you, as I say, free of charge and without any cost or obligation to you yourself. Yours to take and do with as you will. But it's offered to you freely. Take and have a read and get surprised about Jesus. Get excited about Him. Trust Him. Fall in love with Him. Do you love Jesus? That's my question to you this afternoon. Not are you religious, but do you love Jesus? Because if you don't love Jesus, you'll go to hell. So the gospel, the good news about the good shepherd. The word of God, it says this. The words of Jesus Himself, actually. He says, truly, truly. Well, I mean, Jesus wouldn't speak anything else but the truth, would He? Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. He has brought out all His own. He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what He was saying to them. And then He goes on to say, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So, you see, His own disciples even at that time didn't understand what He meant. That's why, you see, He says in another place, and I say to you this afternoon, that it's a baptism in the Holy Spirit that you need. You must, you see, be born again. Until you are, you'll never understand these things, the mysteries of God. For that's the point that Jesus makes, that unless a person is born again, they cannot see, perceive, that is, the kingdom of God. So you see, in order to be able to discern between the true shepherd and the false shepherd, as Jesus speaks of here, well, you first need a baptism in the Holy Spirit. The veil needs to be removed from your understanding. You see, until a person is born again, they're blind. And of course, they're daft with it too. We can't understand the simple things about God, about Jesus and His salvation. So, in the words of Jesus, you must you must be born again. One bishop put it this way, can anything good come out of a bishop? We ask ourselves, very, very rarely, but this one, he was indeed a good one. He said, unless, if you're not born again, the day will come when you'll wish that you've never been born at all. So my wish for you is that you be born again and enter, not only understand, but enter God's kingdom. So, you see, people, you're vulnerable until that is, you are trusting in Jesus, following the Good Shepherd. Vulnerable, that is, to the false, to the lies of the evil one, to the false shepherds, of which, of course, Jesus speaks here, and of which there are many in your world today. Of course, the ultimate false shepherd is the devil, is Satan himself, whom Jesus describes as the father of lies. Every lie that's ever been told, every lie that comes out of the political mouths today even, they're authored in hell. They're authored by the father of lies, Satan. That's who he is. And of course, he's the ultimate false shepherd, and he desires nothing but your destruction. He, the false shepherd, Jesus says, he comes to kill and he comes to destroy. Well, that's not Jesus, the true shepherd, for he said, I did not come to kill, I did not come to destroy men's lives, but rather to save and to rescue. So what I say, when I tell you, you see, that I'm not a religious person. You can be religious, but not right with God. You can be religious, you see, and still be a false shepherd. You see, it's not religion that saves a person. It's Jesus. It's following Jesus, trusting, loving Jesus. That's what makes a person right with God. Nothing else at all. So you see, Satan, he's the top of the tree, as it were, when it comes to lies, when it comes to that which is false, that leads to the destruction and the killing of men's lives and souls. Then, of course, well, there's the propagators of false religion. You know, the Muhammads and the Confucius's and the Buddhas, you know, every propagator that ever there's been of false religion. And you have to say that the chief one today, of course, is Muhammad himself, with his incoherent ramblings that he's put in the book called the Quran. False shepherd, you see, that leads people not just to physical death, bad enough, but to eternal, everlasting death. Think of the many of these Muslim people who are utterly blinded to the reality of God, who and what he is, a God of love and grace and favor, a God who does not delight in the death of the wicked, but rather would have them to be saved. But you see, the false religion, you see, Islam goes about stalking your world, slaughtering, causing chaos and mayhem. Well, that's a clear indication, is it not, to you, of the false shepherd, you see, that Jesus speaks about, a thief and a robber, a killer and a destroyer. But not just Islam, of course. You've got Roman Catholicism. It's a religious system. Salvation by works. Well, by the works of the flesh. The Bible says, no man will be justified. Made right, that is. To justify something or someone is to put them right, you see. And to be justified before God, to be made right with God. Well, you see, religion by works, you know, earning your brownie points in favor with God, you see. By such works, the Bible says, no man will ever be justified. So the propagators, you see, of false religion, they're manifold and they're various. But people, you see, false shepherds sent to kill and to destroy. But Jesus, the true shepherd, the good shepherd, he came, he says, to give them eternal and abundant life. And of course, there's the Antichrists, of which there are many, the Bible tells us, already in the world today. Everything, of course, that's anti-Christian. You know, your philosophy of evolution, you know. The book that you read, your education system, you see, that teaches you, you're listening, children, this is today's lesson, the evolutionary nonsense that they fill your heads with in schools and colleges. It's all anti-Christian. False shepherds, you see, Darwin, Dawkins, and there's a whole list of them. We could go on all afternoon, but we won't. So you see, people, there's the Antichrists. They're abroad in the world. There's many of them, many strands of them. Is it against Jesus? Does the book, does the film, does it speak against Jesus? It's anti-Christian. And then, of course, the Bible tells us, ultimately, there'll be the man of sin, the Antichrist, the daddy of them all, the beast out of the pit. But of course, that's for the future, not just now. But all false shepherds, you see, not true shepherds like Jesus himself. And then there's the world, of course, which the Bible tells us lies under the sway of the evil one, of Satan, you see. It's his domain for the time being. And of course, the whole world system is arrayed against Jesus and against his sheep, his followers. So you listen to the voice of the world, it will lead you to death and destruction. There's only one voice, you see, that will lead you to life, and that's the voice of the true shepherd, that is Jesus. And then there's those people, you see, who would devise other ways, you know, of finding peace, you know, and finding hope and joy and happiness. Many of you, you live under the delusion. If you had more money, if you won the lottery, that would be happiness. Can I tell you, some of the richest people in your world today are some of the most miserable souls that have ever graced this earth. Now, people, happiness does not lie in prosperity, financial gain, the things, the trinkets and baubles of the world. No, it lies in trusting and loving Jesus. Do you love Jesus? That's my question. Not are you religious? Do you love Jesus? Because if you don't love Jesus, you go to hell. And then, of course, well, the false shepherd, well, you can always tell him. His agenda, you see, is to kill. His agenda is to rob, is to, well, to steal. Take away your peace from you. The happiness. These things, you see, a rich man craves in his heart for. Oh, if I could just have a measure of peace, a man said to me. Just a few years ago, never did find it, to my knowledge. but he longed. He had everything. You know, his house was paid for, lovely wife, kids, all the rest of it. He'd got everything that you all want, you know. But he said, if I could just, I would give anything, he said, for just a little bit of peace. But it's always just one step ahead of you, you know. You look for it in all kinds of things, and the false shepherds put them all before you, but you never get there because they rob you, they steal you of the very, very things that you're wanting, desiring, longing for. Hope and peace and joy, these are the fruits that flow down from the cross. They come out of the good news, the gospel. Christ, Jesus, the man, the person, not the religion. The man, Jesus, the Son of God, who died. And died for ungodly people, men and women such as you. That you might know eternal life and eternal happiness, joy that no one can take from you, and a peace, oh, that passes understanding. It's unbelievable, but you have to believe it to get it. You see, trusting, believing in Jesus and following the true shepherd. And you can identify him, Jesus tells us so here in these verses. You see, because his sheep, they enter in the right way. I am the door, says Jesus. He is the door to happiness. He's the door to rightness with God. He's the door to forgiveness. He's the door to eternal love. He's the door to everything, utopia. Everything that you've ever wanted. Oh, people, Jesus alone, you see, is the door. And those who are his sheep, they go in by the door. They don't go looking for other ways. They don't seek to devise other ways. They don't listen to the false shepherds, you know, your educators that fill you with the nonsense of unbelief. You know, from the cradle to the grave, some of you, you're filled with this nonsense of unbelief. That is the mother, can I tell you, that is the mother, that is the womb of all your sins, unbelief. And for that, people, the wrath of God abides upon you and will do forever. You're fed with it from the cradle to the grave. Unbelieving, godless parents. Unbelieving, godless primary school teachers. Unbelieving, godless senior teachers, college professors, the media, your songs, your newspapers, your magazines. Everything is pumped into you. You're indoctrinated with unbelief. And the result of it is your eternal destruction if you don't enter in by the door. And Jesus says, I am the door. And that means he's the only door. There is no other door by which you can enter in. But the door's open, wide open. Come to me, says Jesus. And I will give you rest. He calls the good shepherd, you see, the true shepherd. He calls, and those who are his sheep, you see, they listen up. And they hear his voice, you see, and they recognize his voice. They know it, you see. They won't listen to the strangers. They won't listen to the false shepherd. He knows them, you see, by name, Jesus says. He knows, you know, all about them. He calls them weary one, burdened one. He calls the man in bondage to drink, you know, the alcohol, the drugs, the immorality, whatever it might be. He knows their name. He knows all about them. And he calls them by their name. Drunkard, come to me and I will give you living water to drink and you'll never thirst again. He calls the immoral, come to me and I'll make you pure. I'll purify your heart and make you clean. I'll remove all the filth out of your heart. He calls them by name. He knows them, you see. And they hear his voice and they do his bidding. And they follow him. They follow him willingly because they love him. There's my question again. Do you love Jesus? That's my question. Not are you religious, do you love Jesus? Because if you don't love Jesus, you go to hell. People, his sheep follow him. You see, the false shepherd, he has to drive his gathering. Jesus doesn't drive his sheep. He just walks before them, and his sheep, they love him so much because he died for them. Because he gave his life for them. Because he gave them eternal life, eternal love. And they willingly, lovingly follow him. They wouldn't want to follow anybody else, people. And they follow his every direction, his guide, you see, in his precious word that he's given to them. And he never, never, I tell you, Jesus, never do you any harm. You follow the false shepherd, they'll rob you, steal from you, they'll kill you, they'll destroy your soul. But Jesus, I tell you, never, never harmed anybody. And he will take away from you only what will harm you, nothing else. And he will give to you, I tell you, a hundredfold in its place. Now, people, Jesus never harmed anyone, never leads his sheep astray, and never leads them into danger. You see, he's the one person you can trust. If you watched the television last night, I'm told at least anyway, that the lies were pouring forth out of the political mouths as usual, you know, speaking out of both sides of their mouths. Lying is their profession, don't you know? But you see, you can't trust a one of them. That's what the entire populace is saying. Cameron, Clegg, Miliband, Farage, you name them. We can't trust a single one of them. And the nation's sick to death of them. So when Scotland takes over, don't be blaming Scotland. It's your English Westminster Parliament that's the problem. Sort that out, and you'll sort the rest out. But they're liars, you see, false shepherds. And people, hear me. Jesus never tells you lies. He tells the truth. He tells it to you like it is. It might hurt. You might not like it. But he tells it to you like it is, the truth. And he never, never leads anyone astray. And he tells us he lays down his life for his sheep. And then he takes it again. I have this authority, he says, from my Father to walk into the tomb. Do you know somebody like that? Who would take death for you? Who would take the rap for you? That's what Jesus did. Voluntarily, lovingly, he laid down his life for his sheep so that they might be saved, washed and made clean, and with the authority to rise again from the dead. Ah, people, what a savior, what a shepherd, what a guide to have through this evil and wicked world. Do you love Jesus? You ought to do. Trust him and love him and follow him because he's the true and he's the good shepherd. But then his sheep, of course, well, they won't follow. They won't follow the false shepherd. They flee, Jesus says, from the false shepherd. You can tell them because they have abundant life. Is that how you would describe yourself this afternoon? Maybe you're religious, maybe you're not. But I ask you, that how you would describe your life at this present moment in time? Abundant life, not just living, not just coping, not just getting by, but actually cruising. Abundant life. Because that's what Jesus said. He came to give those that will trust, those that will believe on His name. And they gather together, you see, and the shepherd, he keeps them together. False shepherd, he scatters the sheep. Not Jesus. He keeps His own together. Always does, always will do. And they hear the shepherd's voice and they follow Him. And He promises, He says, that He will give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Never. No one can take the sheep out of the hand of the shepherd or out of the Father's hand. Double assurance. You can never, never perish. For God, you see, so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes, trusts in Him, His death, His resurrection, trusts in Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. You can only have eternal life by trusting in Jesus, by trusting in God's Son. The Good Shepherd, the true Shepherd, the only one to follow. So people, trusting, you see, that's what God requires of you. This is the work of God. You want to be a worker? You want to work? Well, this is the work of God, says Jesus, that you believe, that you trust in the one whom He sent, even Jesus Himself. Trusting in the Son of God, that's all that's required of you this afternoon, that you believe in Jesus. But if you don't trust, you won't stand. You don't trust, you won't stand on the day of judgment. I have to tell you people, the day's coming, solemn though it is, day's coming when we all stand before God, and He's your judge, the shepherd, Jesus. He's the one appointed to judge the world in righteousness. You stand before Him as your judge or your Savior. Which is it going to be? That day's coming, and you know it is. In your heart of hearts, you know it is. You know, guy said to me just the other evening, he's an atheist, he's a godless person. He said to me, give me evidence, give me evidence. No, I said, no, you've got all the evidence. It's all around you. It's in your face, man. Submit, white flag, surrender to Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what's required of you. Evidence. God, you're going to put God on the judgment throne? You're going to judge God? He's given you all the evidence that you need. That's what you do. You wave the white flag, you surrender to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, and you get safety, security, eternal life. You shall never perish. But on that day you stand before God, without Jesus, you ain't got a leg to stand on. Blown away. The full blast of God's legal system that will blow you into the damnation of hell forever. You see, that's awful serious. Yes, it is. You see, that's awful solemn. Sure it is. You see, we don't hear stuff like that in our churches. No, I'm sure you don't. They dance for you, sing for you, entertain you, do all kinds of things for you, but they won't tell you the truth. That's why I come here Friday by Friday, to tell you that truth. Here, listen up. Listen not to me, but to Jesus, to the true shepherd, and let him lead you to eternal life, eternal love, eternal safety, eternal salvation. That's what Jesus came for. He's a savior, you see. And that's what the Bible's about, start to finish. It's about God's salvation. Old Testament tells you about Jesus going to come. New Testament tells you about how he came, just as the old said, and did what the old said he would do. That's the gospel. You ask most Christians in Stafford today what the gospel is, they won't be able to tell you, but I'll tell you. Christ died for sinners just like the Old Testament of the Bible said he would. He was buried, and after the third day, rose again from the dead, just like the Old Testament Bible said he would. All fulfilled. Jesus. That's what he came for. To bring salvation. To rescue you from your worst danger. Greatest danger. Your own sinful nature, character. Shot through with sin. Every single one of us. Vile in the eyes of God, not the fairest of them all. And every single one of you under my voice this afternoon, I tell you, whatever other need you have this afternoon, your greatest need is Jesus. Your greatest need is salvation. And Jesus, the true shepherd's the only one who can give it to you. Will give it to you. But if you come to him, he will. He died to make peace by his blood shed on the cross. And he has made peace for a sin-sick world. But that salvation, that peace, you see, has to be received by you consciously, willingly, deliberately, trusting in what Jesus has done on that cross. Through his death and resurrection, that peace, that hope, that life can be yours. So you see, people, that's what the Bible's about. And you'd like to have, well, whole Bible, give you one if you want one. Or an extract from the Bible, one of the Gospels, is offered to you free of charge, without cost or any obligation to you, yours to take and do with as you will. You can take God's written word home with you, or maybe you could take God's living word home with you. Ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. Any relationship begins, huh? You speak to the person, don't you? Well, speak to Jesus. Tell him what kind of a sinner you are. Tell him that you want leading to eternal life, love, and peace. Ask him to be your Savior. You'd like somebody to pray, not with you, but for you. I would be only too happy to do that. But in the meantime, if you'd like a copy of God's Word, you are welcome to take one. Do you like one, sir?
Can I ask you a question?
Of course you can, sir.
What do you think, standing there and scaring people, is what Jesus would have done?
Yep. Yeah. Well, exactly what he did. But I'm not scaring people, I'm just telling them the truth.
You're standing here saying you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth.
But everybody's a sinner.
Yeah, that's the truth, that's what I said.
You shouldn't be scaring people then, should you?
Well, I'm not scaring them. Tell them the truth.
You're scaring me now.
Am I?
Yeah.
I'm telling you the truth. So you are a sinner.
What do you think the truth is?
You are a sinner.
I'm a sinner, aren't
yeah.
I? I'm a sinner. I've sinned a lot.
Well, how's that scaring you?
Because you're drilling it into people. They should be scared because they're a sinner.
No, I didn't say that. That's your words, not mine. I said that they're sinners and that Jesus is the Saviour and that Jesus can save them, will save them. He is more willing to save you than you are to be saved.
I'm saying, well, how do you think that Jesus spoke to people when he was going around?
He said to one bunch of people, he said, how can you, they were so evil, he said, how can you possibly escape the damnation of hell?
But nobody's all evil, are they? Nobody's all evil.
Yeah.
So there would be evil at the time.
All of us, you and me included.
I've been evil, but I wasn't, even when I was being evil, I wasn't evil all the time.
No.
No.
Because sometimes, eh?
that's scaring people.
Well, God says
you're all evil.
I tell you what God says?
Go on.
He says there is none good, not even one.
That's right. Everyone's a sinner from birth.
Yep.
Let's say I'm Jesus. I've been reborn, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I go and sin so much that I get sent to hell.
The trouble is, God says you do know what you're doing.
Yeah, God says you do know what you're doing.
Yes.
But that's why He says no one is good, not one.
Yeah.
I mean, people know what they're doing when they look at the Bible and they see about the devil. People know that they shouldn't do that. But people are born fighting, and they're not born peaceful.
Yeah.
Because of the thing at the beginning of the Bible.
Can I tell you, what's your first name?
Daniel.
I'm Jim.
Okay.
Good to meet you, Daniel. Listen, Daniel, here's the thing, you see, I could stand here and I could flatter people, yeah, I could say, look, hey, you're all good guys, you're all nice, God loves you all, and everything's okay. I'm not here to scare you, I want you to be at peace, I want you to be nice and quiet, yeah, but that's not going to save them, that's going to lead them to a lost eternity, Daniel.
Can I just say, nobody's all bad, everybody has got some nice in them, and I don't always see that.
Well, that's not God's opinion.
I don't always see that, but God's opinion just says no one is good, not one, because everybody has been sinned, so no one is all good.
That's right, yeah. That's right, exactly.
That's right.
It says the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things.
Yeah.
This is my friend Matthew.
From birth. Conception.
Well,
so everything
why
you do proceeds from that heart.
I remember seeing you on the Western Road, give me a leaflet.
Yeah,
that's
somebody right,
else.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, I'm saying,
hey, listen,
I mean,
Dan,
I'm angry about scaring people, because I did, when I first come past, I felt scared, and I'm saved.
Right.
I think I'm saved. I've gone to Jesus, and I've learned a lot from him, and I think I'm...
The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, so the path of salvation is through, having a sense of dread.
Yeah, if you read the Bible
judgment.
At the start of it, it sounds like you're going to hell and stuff, but
if
you go to God, then...
You're okay if you're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
He shows
these
you.
Are,
and he
no
shows
enmity
you
with him in their heart.
There's just one. Just
shouting out at people in the middle of the street that they're sinners and they're evil is not going to help people do anything.
There was what Jesus thought, so.
They're going to get more angry and say,
anyway,
oh, we don't need him then.
But what Jesus thought it was good, like, you know, but anyway, never mind. It's not like what you think of me as a no, Daniel.
I think your message is too harsh.
It's no matter, but. What you think of Jesus is all important. But there's one word you say that it causes me great concern, what you just said a minute ago. You said you think that you're saved.
I'm saved. I went to hospital when I didn't know anything about life, and as soon as I opened to Jesus, on my knees, right, I started seeing the whole world as it is. And
good.
I know that I'm saved.
Okay.
I know I'm saved because Jesus talks to me when I'm on my own.
Right.
He guides me when I'm not on my own.
Okay.
Right, how do you think Jesus saw people, talk to people when he was going round his ministry? How do you think he talked to him? He didn't go around saying, sinner, 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 did he? Show me one time when he did that. Apart from when people were actually being evil. I mean, he drove people out when they were being evil. He said, he meets the two guys.
As you repent, you will likewise perish.
Well, you meet...
Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched.
That's hell.
That's what Christ talks about more than anything else.
He says
the consequences of remaining
a shouting at people saying it. He's not... perfectly calm saying
it. Well, he wasn't. He lifted up his voice so that it could be heard. He was in busy commuter places like that.
He never threatened people with
it.
He just said that's what's going on.
Either.
I think he is. I was standing there. I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but I was standing there and I heard...
Do you not
I heard
think,
you shouting sinner,
unless you repent,
right?
You will likewise perish.
Hurt me, and I don't think
warning.
I'm a sinner. I think I'm a sinner, but I don't think I sin as much as other people, like. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm a sinner, all right? But
on one occasion,
scaring me into thinking I'm even worse than a sinner is not what you should be doing.
On one occasion, Jesus spoke to at least 5,000 people.
Yeah.
No amplification. So he obviously did a bit of shouting, like, yeah?
He did a bit of shouting, I agree.
But just a bit, not as much as
about
me. But listen, Daniel, that's not the issue. That's not the issue. What troubles me is that you're troubled by the gospel.
I'm not troubled.
It seems to me,
I am slightly troubled sometimes.
You should be. If I was in your place and you were doing what I'd just been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm trying to fob you off. I'm being serious. Yeah. If I'd been stood there by that table as you were, listening to what I was saying and the way that I said it, I'd be jumping up and down. I'd be jumping up and down for joy. I'd be shouting hallelujah all over the place. Yeah? But you're not, and that worries me, Daniel.
What worries me?
Worries me for you, I mean. It worries me for you.
I don't believe you two guys, I'm sorry, but you're standing there looking like you're angry with this guy. Then you fall over and you're his friend. I'm sorry, but Jesus wasn't always warm, he was cold sometimes. He told it like it was, but he didn't tell it, he wasn't cold with the bad people. Maybe he was sometimes, I don't know, but he had to drive out demons, didn't he? To get them, I mean, two guys were there, and no one would go their way. They were so dangerous that nobody had ever gone that way. Then nobody was like that, and they're so dangerous. And he drove them out, he said.
What church do you go to, Dan?
Say again?
What church do you go to?
I don't go to church at the moment.
Ah, right. See, I think maybe this could be part of the problem, is that, you know, you need some serious Bible teaching.
I haven't read the Bible for about a year.
Oh, Daniel.
Because I've been threatened.
No wonder you're where you're at.
No, you're not going to change me with that. No, listen. I can see that you're not telling me the truth.
No, listen to me.
Somebody who stands here and threatens people is not telling the truth about Jesus.
Okay.
You feel threatened when you first read the Bible, and you've obviously first read the Bible.
Yeah.
If you go to God then, you don't feel threatened anymore. You can see what you've
written. Yeah. And you read Revelation. So when Christ comes back, they're going to be calling on the mountains to fall and hide them from the face of the Lamb, from the rock.
That isn't a threat.
Okay, well, what about
Revelation?
That's worse than anything Jim just said.
What about the picture of Jesus at the end of Revelation, where he's standing with a sword and it's covered in blood and so is his garments?
No, that's
tramping
not right.
Out the winepress of God's wrath.
Okay,
that's right.
His robe isn't covered blood. He's holding a sword. I've read Revelation.
You need to read it again then. Listen, Daniel.
I'm at the start of Revelation where it tells you all about Jesus coming. He's
Daniel.
Going to be the son of David, right? He's going to be. There's five things at the start, and you can choose. If you're a sinner, I won't say sinner because that's bad. If you're a person who goes against Jesus, then you can pick one of them, as far as I can see.
And if tell you what, Daniel, I'm glad I know I'm a sinner. Because
if I
didn't know I was a sinner, then I wouldn't be needing a saviour. I would be just doing my own thing, like, you know.
Your struggle maybe is. You don't have a rounded view
of
the real Christ.
How are you doing?
You've got a concept of Christ as gracious, which is true.
Thank you very much.
How are you? But you don't
I'm
have
okay.
a concept of him as holy.
Have a good day, folks.
You yourself actually got on your knees or similar, just confess sin to God.
Well, everything that you're aware of, you don't know all your sin, do you? Because there's too much of it to recount.
And then gone and made up for all of it, right?
You can't make up for it. That's the point of trusting
in
Christ.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah. But Christ died taking the punishment for our sin.
Yes.
But Christ also rose so that all of his obedience can be put to our account.
You've read Revelation. God, Jesus is going to come back, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
And what's he going to be like?
For his people, he's going to be the culmination of all the joys and all the things they hope for.
But what's
for
he going to be like, though?
It's going to be the worst thing they've ever seen.
Say you're talking to me and I'm Jesus, right?
Mm.
He's not going to be the worst thing they've ever seen.
He isn't.
People are afraid of light.
Awful.
Jesus is all light, right?
Yeah, but that's
the
worst thing they've ever seen.
And they might not be able to hurt him or the rest of the Christians anymore, but
he's not going to be like, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself, it's Jesus.
This is my problem, so you don't have a round, I'm not saying he's evil, I'm
saying
he's good.
He's
going to condemn them to eternal sufferings in the lake of fire, the second death.
No.
That's what the Bible teaches.
The Bible teaches
that the holiness of, yes, he's just a creation though, ultimately does God's will.
He's for like a fire.
No. The devil.
He's just a creature.
He's not. He doesn't exist.
And he does. He's a fallen angel.
You think that? Where does it say in the Bible that he's a fallen angel?
That's what the Bible teaches you. Lucifer, son of the morning, cast out of heaven. Is it all over the place?
Where was it? In the Bible.
Daniel, Revelation.
It doesn't even mention Lucifer in Daniel.
Yeah, it does.
Where?
Not by that particular name, but it's mentioned throughout.
Where does it mention the devil in Daniel?
I'm not thinking of Daniel or Ezekiel.
I haven't read the Bible for years.
Lucifer. You haven't?
No.
And you say they're a Christian?
I'm a Christian. I've been told.
Don't get that.
Daniel.
I
don't agree with you two. Just basically, what I wanted to say was, if you're a Christian, you don't stand there scaring people. You help people, and you help people by defending them and cheering them up. You don't stand here shouting at people and saying,
so they need repent. They need a comedian.
You can do it if you want to.
Right.
But you'll just drive people away from the Bible.
What do you think their biggest need is then, do you think?
Well,
This is just a question, I'm not trying to find you out.
Anger is what everyone's born with, right? They go up getting angry because they're mistreated, Something's not right, but I don't hold that against people. But if people are being evil, you've got to say something, because it says, if you don't stand in the Bible, it says, if you don't stand up, not everyone's evil, all evil, because there's good in people. There wouldn't be all this nice.
But you just said, God.
Yeah, but the Bible teaches these things are here because of the exercise of God's restraining power and common grace, not because of anything in man.
Say that again. You're talking around it, but you're not actually saying what the Bible says.
No, I'm telling you exactly what it's saying. The Bible says that the reason that things are the way they are, there's still an admixture between the evil that is in men's hearts and what appears to be good. The reason there's still some semblance of order. It's because of the restraining power of the Spirit of God. He hasn't taken his Spirit away.
Promote good by shouting at people.
I'm not shouting at anybody. You have to tell them the situation they're in.
I'm totally shouting and shouting at people.
You just said. No, I wasn't shouting. I was preaching.
You've been shouting since I got into town.
I was preaching. Daniel, you just said a minute ago. You just said that not only is evil, there's some good in them. But
yet,
10 minutes ago, you were saying that God says there's none good.
No one's all good. I'm not all good. Sam, Jesus come back, I'm not all good.
Not any good. Not any good, says God.
Jesus wasn't
not
all
any good.
Good
at all. Vipers. Vipers.
That's John.
Hearts deceitful and desperately wicked.
That's John. You're talking about vipers.
No.
Yes.
No, I'm talking about
vipers,
Romans chapter 3. The poison of vipers is under their tongues.
Yeah, poison is just words that hurt people or fists that hurt people.
Nasty, violent, bad heart.
Bad heart? I mean, how bad is your heart?
Well, it's just as bad as anybody else's.
So you're going around beating people up and shooting people, are you?
Well, it's all the potential to do those things is in me.
But you must have good in you then if you're not going around doing that.
No. Well, in the Lord's people, there's this saving grace that there's an additional layer of check upon their natural inclination. But in the mind of God, the only thing